the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Brother Hari Shankar, Senior Manager, Medicare Division of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. Hari completed his MBA program from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in the year 2002. And prior to that, he had done his BTech from the prestigious Indian Institute of Technology, Chennai. Stay tuned, dear listeners, interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs sung by the overseas devotees. After which, at 3:30 p.m, we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And for now, over to Brother Hari Shankar.
November season is quite memorable for me for like various reasons. But I recall that even when I was at college, when I was doing my engineering at Chennai, I used to look forward to actually coming to Prashanthi Nilayam that entire month, that it would be filled with anticipation. Because luckily for us, the semester would end just before Swami's birthday, and then I would land up here. And for me, the coincidence was that my birthday would fall in the same week as Swami's birthday. So I would land up here around that time and then wait till even my birthday celebrations got over, and then I would head back home. So the entire semester is to be filled with anticipation that, so this is going to happen. So when my brother here, when I was doing my second year of engineering, my brother joined here for school. And that's when I realized that the students, they had a very special privilege. On the day of their birthday, they could take one tray in which they would place, you know, these mantrakshata, means rice with specially mixed rice, and cloves, cardamom, sometimes chocolates, you know. So they would take all of that and get it blessed by Swami on their birthday. So I was also thinking that, once I got to know that, I wish I also got that privilege, right? That I also want these things blessed by Swami. So what I did was, my brother, he celebrated his birthday, and then I borrowed from him that one small vessel in which those mantrakshatas were placed. I thought that I could also get it blessed on my birthday during darshan. So somehow I smuggled it through past the sevadal that day. You know, they actually caught it and I said, it's my birthday. They said, okay, go, you know. So I took that. Luckily, I got the front line too. Front or second line. Second line, I was sitting for darshan. And I was full of anticipation. That morning, we sat for darshan around 4 a.m. Swami used to come around 6:15, 6:20. So from 4 a.m. to 6:15, I closed my eyes, not opened it even once. And I kept chanting Sai Gayatri, Gayatri, all prayers that I could to appease Swami, so that my thing was, the moment Swami comes for darshan, he stands in front of me, I show him that kalasham, he blesses it, and you know, that was my dream. So I prayed so hard, so hard. And then Swami comes out from darshan, he starts walking towards where I was sitting. And just maybe 1 foot from where I was sitting, suddenly he walked over to the opposite line. And from there, again he came back to this line, very close to me. And I could not contain myself. I took out the kalasham, I showed it to Swami. Swami, my birthday. And Swami gave one look at me, one look at that, and walked away. It broke my heart. I couldn't control my tears. Almost half the day I was crying. My mother, who had come here for seva, she did not know whether to do her duty as a sevadal or her duty as a mother. I was crying so hard. Because for me, like, that was everything I had dreamed that entire month. I thought, how can Swami do this? I have prayed, and today I have brought my prayers to a crescendo, and yet they did not get answered. So these were the thoughts that were running very hard through my mind. And then, of course, soon, you know, that grief was forgotten. And about 3 years later, this story continues. So, by then I had just joined as a student at the MBA, for the MBA. And then one day, I got a chance like this to speak to the students of the institute in what we call as the foyer of the institute. So, I spoke. And that evening, Swami during darshan kept asking, who is that student who spoke this morning in the foyer? And after some time, Swami called out my name. He said, "Where is Hari Shankar?" So then I was so taken aback. I went up to Swami and Swami said, "Huh, you spoke very well this morning. You spoke about relationship with Swami as mother. But I remember 2 years ago, you came on your birthday. And after the darshan, you are crying. Why did you cry so much? Swami is always with you." So, you know, that feeling, on one side, elation. That, you know, Swami knows the suffering that I was going through. He was there with me at that moment. But also a little bit of annoyance that, you know, you could have said this that day. But Swami waits for that, you know, the penance. He wants us to go through that penance, and only then will we value that interaction that we get with Him. But, you know, thinking back now, this happened more than 18 years back, and I look at it and something else strikes me. That just imagine, all of you, that we are talking about Swami, okay, but who is Swami? He is the Lord Himself. Can you imagine that we are talking about an interaction that we had with the Lord of the universe, in which we are able to say that we pined for His love, and then after 2 years He returned, you know, that penance, all of that came so real, that those feelings, I am talking about the feelings of, I had love, a little bit of annoyance, I went through up and a down, all of those feelings, and suddenly it seems so surreal that we are actually talking about an incident that occurred with the Lord of the universe. That the Lord permitted such an interaction to even happen. That the Lord made us feel human feelings towards Him. What a rare and what a great privilege that all of us have had. You see, if you think about it, 7 billion people on this planet. Of them, there's a small fraction which believes in the Lord. And sometimes in many religions, what happens, the Lord that they are taught to pray to, that they are taught to believe in, is a Lord who they fear. If you make a mistake, God will punish you. He is watching you from the top, every little action that you do, and He's just waiting for that one small mistake. Or if you don't pray to Him, that's it. He'll be very upset with you, and He will make sure that you're hurt. See, this is the kind of Lord, this is the kind of relationship, that kind of fear that people have about God. But many of us in the land of Bharat, the way we are raised to have a different view of God. I remember when I was very small, many of us were brought up on a diet of the Amar Chitra Katha comics, which used to narrate very beautifully so many stories related to God, stories from the Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, illustrated and in such simple language that us children could understand. So I remember reading one such very beautiful story that has always stayed with me. This is a story of, there is this small village somewhere on the outskirts of a forest, and there is this child that has lost both its parents, and she is staying with her grandmother, and the grandmother admits her in a school for which she has to walk across the forest to the other side, where there is another village where the school is located. So the child, at first she is very excited, "I am going to school." But soon she suddenly realizes that to get to the school, she has to walk through dense forest every day. So suddenly she develops the fear that, "How will I be able to do this?" So she tells her grandma that, "I am very scared that how will I, you know, every day how will I go across this dark and frightening forest?" So grandma, she says, "Oh, it's very easy." That all of us, whether we know it or not, always our friend Gopala is with us. She said, "Who, Gopala?" "No, he's there. He lives in the forest only, Gopala. And he's always taking care of us." So this little girl, she is intrigued. How come, and the idea that she can have a friend now. So she says, "Grandmother, I want to meet this Gopala." So the grandmother, she knows the child is innocent. She says, "Oh, nothing. You know, whenever you want him, just go to the forest and call, Gopala, aao, aao. And Gopala will come in front of you. So the story goes on that, so she goes, and as she starts getting nervous in the middle of the forest, she says, Gopala may be with me, but I want to see him. So she calls, Gopala, aao, aao. And suddenly Lord Krishna appears there in front of her. And every day Lord Krishna, so she doesn't recognize him, but as a child, as a cowherd, every day he brings her some curd, some yogurt, something for her to drink, and takes her every day to school and brings her back. So after a week, the grandmother sees that the child is very happy, she is no longer afraid. And so she asks, so how come you are no longer afraid of crossing the forest? And she says, yes, you told me about Gopala, he is coming every day and taking me. So at first the grandmother laughs that, what do you mean Gopala appearing every day? She still thinks it's the prattle of an innocent child. Then she says, no, he comes. If I go to this place in the forest, and as you said, I call Gopala, aao, aao. And Gopala comes there. Every day he brings me something to eat, some milk sweet. And the grandmother is now truly intrigued that, what is this? I just told her as a story. I never thought it will become real. And now she is all the more agog that I want to see Lord Krishna. She realizes that the person who has responded is none other than the Lord himself. And so she decides that I want to go and see what happens. But as you can all think, the moment the grandmother goes there and this child calls out Gopala, Gopala, he doesn't turn up. And the story ends by saying that when you have belief, complete innocent childlike belief in the Lord, that he will respond when you call, that is when he responds, and he does respond. So this is the diet that we have been brought up with, that this is the kind of relationship that you can have with the Lord. A relationship where he is not some distant being sitting up there far above the clouds, watching when you can make a mistake, what opportunity that he can, you know, wrap your knuckles with the ruler with. It's not that kind of God. We have seen this God who can care more than your parents, more than a father, more than a mother. We have seen such instances where his heart has melted at the suffering of so many. We have seen that we can have that one-to-one relationship. It's not some distant Lord whom you have to put on a pedestal and worship. You can do that. But the Lord wanted us to have that personal one-to-one relationship with him. And he made it so completely real by actually coming down, walking amongst us, talking to us, joking with us. See, one instance I remember during darshan, we are all seated there, and as students we sit in different blocks. There are some 3 or 4 different blocks in which we sit. So as Swami came down from the Purnachandra, Swami came near the block that was closest to him and just whispered something to some of the students, and in that block they started laughing. They laughed. They were laughing so hard, so hard. And we were just smiling, just looking at that, oh, Swami is happy, these kids are also laughing. And only we were curious, what did Swami say? And Swami continued the joke over the entire darshan. So he moved to the next student block, whispered something to them also, asked them a few questions, and they started roaring in laughter. So that block is like all of them are laughing hard. Finally he comes to us and he says something similar, and then we also started laughing. So the entire student community who was sitting there, maybe about 400, 500 of us, we are all rolling in laughter by just a few words that Swami has said. And naturally my mother, who was sitting somewhere in the, you know, among the public, she was very intrigued. What were you all laughing so hard about? Because that, it was a roaring laughter. The entire Kulwant Hall is, you know, echoing. We were laughing so hard. So then, you know, when I told my mother the actual story, I'll also tell you what it was. What happened is, some students, they had bought some packets of vibhuti from the store in the hostel, got it to be get blessed by Swami. Swami asked him, how much does this packet cost? It cost 2 rupees. Swami started telling that, your warden is making profits. It actually costs only 1 rupee. He is making profit of 1 rupee per packet and all. And believe me, my mother still could not understand. Is that the joke you were all laughing about? Looking back, it really wasn't that funny. But the amount of laughter Swami injected in all of us, all the students were laughing at the joke. And I can imagine that all of them went back to their parents and told this joke. And the parents had only smiled, thinking what were they all laughing about. Just a small little remark, But at that moment, I could understand, what did the gopis and the gopikas, what did they talk about when they said that when they danced along with the Lord, the kind of feeling that they were all infused with, the kind of ecstasy that they all went into. That day I understood what it was. Because you're in the presence of what? The very embodiment of happiness, the very embodiment of bliss. What else will you feel when that being decides that he will share his bliss with all of us? What else will you feel? You need a fraction of that. You do not need him to be a stand-up comic to make you laugh that hard. Even a small sentence, if he smiles and tells, that is enough for us to roar with laughter, bellyfuls of laughter. That is the kind of relationship. See, all of you have seen Swami during darshan, looking so serious, so dignified. If I tell you some of the instances of what all has transpired in the interview room. See, once there was this group called the Hyderabad Youth Group. Some of you may know about them. Swami had guided this group on several occasions to perform Grama Seva in the villages of Andhra Pradesh. So, these youth, they were so exuberant and their trust in Swami was so blind. They loved Swami to the utmost. And they would find various reasons to come to Prashanti Nilayam. So, sometimes they would say, Swami, all of us just passed the engineering entrance. We are going to become engineers. So, we have come as an engineers group, guide us on what our future should be. So, Swami would say, okay, he would indulge them, children. Okay, come, you all want to talk about engineering with Swami. Let's talk. One more group would come and say, oh, Swami, you spoke to the engineers. We are all just passed our, we are getting into MBBS, guide us also. Swami would say, okay, come, all of you, let me talk to you all also. All children. Swami would start talking to all these, the Hyderabad youth group. And see the kind of relationship that is there between the devotee and the Lord. See, there was one particular member of the group, I remember. His parents had absolutely forbidden him from going to Prashanti Nilayam. They were not devotees. So they said, you are wasting your time with this group when you are supposed to be sitting and studying and you should be preparing to go to the United States for your higher studies. And here you are, every year you go with these youth, go into the villages. You do some seva there, we don't know what you do. Then you go to Prashanti Nilayam to meet that Baba. You're doing all the wrong things. This is what his parents had told. But his heart was with Swami. That pull of Swami, who can resist? So, he wanted to go to Prashanti Nilayam at any cost. So, the youth group, what they did was, they invented one scheme. So, they told him that since every month we are going on Swami's instructions to this village or that village, we know you want to come with us. Why don't you tell your father that you are going to play a cricket match? Because that was the father's weakness. The father absolutely loved cricket. And to him, the idea that his son is actually going to represent the district for some cricket match, now that was very nice to hear. He said, yes, 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 you go. So that's how, month on month, he used to go for their Grama Seva activities. He used to tell at home, I'm going for a cricket match. But finally, the time came when his father has decided that he will go to the United States for higher studies, 4 years, how much ever time it takes. And his heart was set on doing his MBA over here in Swami's college. Father and son argued, finally the father would not relent. And the son said, I just want one concession from you, allow me to at least go and write the entrance exam for MBA. And father said, okay, go. And this boy, you will not believe, he did not even have a ticket to come to Prashanti Nilayam for that entrance, because all the candidates had already booked the bus from Hyderabad to here. So entire night he has sat on the steps of that bus, you know, where the passengers get on. He has sat over there. He did not have a seat. He sat in that. He could not sleep all night. He has come and written the exam, because his love for Swami was so much that he wanted to say, Swami, I know I cannot be with you as a student, but at least this much, let me write this entrance at least. Let me put this token effort at your feet, so that you may never forget that I did this effort. One day you will reward me for that. That is the beautiful kind of relationship, personal relationship, one to one, that Swami permits each one of us to have with Him. I have seen this, many times. See, I work in the, as I said, medical care division of the trust. And part of my duties is to evaluate major equipment purchases at the hospitals. So Swami said that for every purchase, make sure that you got the correct price, the right price. Make sure the quality is good. And at the same time, make sure that the price is made as low as possible. So that is what we have been ensuring. So we look at various ways and means to get it done. And we have found that at several times, you know, we are looking for an equipment. We start exploring if there is a certain supplier for that. Believe it or not, as you explore, somewhere you will find that one person, he feels that, you know, he has had darshan of Swami somewhere in Vrindavan or in Prashanti Nilayam. Or some place, you know, they visited. Or they say, oh, my aunt was Swami's devotee. She used to tell her, I'm very curious about this Swami. You know, and as they find out about Swami, their heart starts melting. And many times they give at very throwaway prices. They say, if this is for Swami and it is for His hospital, let us, you know, I will give this much discount. Very steep discounts we get sometimes. All because, you know, Swami, He has touched various people at various times. You will not believe. In the most unexpected places, in a corporate office, suddenly you will find a person who says, oh, you are from Swami's hospital. Tell me what all is happening. Tell me your experiences. And these are people who may have never seen Swami again after that. That one experience they have had, somewhere it convinces them that this is the Lord Himself.
With Swami in the early 70s and 80s, one of my teachers, who also was part of the Vedam group in those years, so he once told us of this very beautiful time that he spent with Swami along with another student. So one particular summer, Swami forbid this teacher from going home. He said that this holidays you are spending with me, and literally with me, in the sense Swami said, shift your luggage into my residence and you are going to stay. I will look after you. He was still a 11th class child. Swami had a particular reason to ask him to stay. Swami said, you stay with me. So this one 11th class, hardly 15, 16 year old child, Swami says, come into my house. I will make sure that every day cooks make good food for you. All of that, you know. Now that itself is mind blowing for all of us, that Swami says, shift your luggage and stay with me. And then, you know, he said, along with me, there was another student who was in his MSc. Now, this student, you will not believe the kind of interaction that he would have with Swami. See, when he used to go to write his exam, so these were the days when this university was not an independent university on its own standing. The colleges were affiliated to Bangalore University. So, if you have to write the exams as a student over here, you have to go to the Bangalore University, one of their campuses, and write the exam from there. So how this student would go every day? Swami would arrange his car. Swami would say, he would tell his car driver, go drop him for the exam. And in the back of the car, it would be stocked full of this student's favorite food items, sweets and everything. So he would go to the exam munching his favorite foods and go write whatever he had to write. And when he would come back, every single time it seems, when he got out of Swami's car, it was Swami who would be standing near the car door
with a glass of buttermilk or a glass of juice, depending on the weather. So every day, you know, the 1 week of exams, this was the routine. He would come back, Swami would give him buttermilk, Swami would give him juice. So then the holidays started, and he narrated one incident. You will not believe that this is Swami. It seems Swami and the teacher and this particular student, the three of them in one room, they are all talking about something. So Swami was either talking about the Bhagavatam or the Brahma Sutras, I don't remember which. He is talking about it to only these two. And suddenly this student, he gets up from the room, even as Swami is talking, he gets up from the room and goes and sits somewhere else in another room. So Swami stopped talking. He realized that, you know, this particular student, he had got bored of whatever Swami was talking about. He couldn't hear it anymore. He got up. Do you think any of us have that option? So this student, he got up and walked off to another room and sat over there. So Swami was silent for 1 minute. You will not believe what he did next. He got up, went to that room where that boy is sitting, goes and sits there. He says, "Oh, you are bored, is it, about what I was talking about? Okay, I'll talk something else." See that? Can you believe it? Even a parent would not do that. See, that is the kind of, I have seen, this love cannot be described. You know, Swami, he becomes like completely devoted to the devotee. That is the kind of love that he has. You know, once I have seen, in Trayi Brindavan, Swami started talking to one student. It used to happen, suddenly one student will become Swami's hot favorite. So Swami started talking to this student, and somebody has taken a photo, you know, Swami and the boy talking. And he printed out that photo, and next day he gave it to Swami, saying that, "Swami, this photo of yours." So Swami sees the photo, he sees, oh, this boy is there in the photo. And then he goes around asking, "Where is this boy, where is this boy?" In Trayi Lawns, you know, near his residence, he's walking all around asking each one of us, "Where is that boy, where is that boy?" So he was standing little far away, and message went to him, "Swami is asking for you." And he came running, that boy, thinking, "Swami is asking for me. And we did not know who had more love in their faces, you know. We could not make out. Swami is so excited, "See, your photo." You know, that much excitement Swami had in showing that, "See, my photo with you." And Swami hands him that photo with all that excitement. It was something to be seen that every day such interactions with Swami would teach me something new about Swami's love. Because see, one thing, I can narrate with you an incident that how much we pine for Swami, no? I think Swami has pined for us 10 or 100 times more than that. I have this personal experience with my own father. My father, as some of you may know, he was the person who used to give aarti to Swami between 2007 to 2011, towards the ending years. He used to give aarti to Swami in the mandir. But he was not a devotee of Swami. In fact, when my mother got married to him, she was an ardent devotee, and they were the other extreme, that they hated Swami. So in fact, my mother used to say that she used to keep, if she was not allowed to keep Swami's photo in the altar, she said, "At least his small photo I'll keep in my purse." So one day my father spied that photo in the purse, and he said, "Oh, you love him and not me, is it?" Like, so to that extent, he forbade her of worshipping Swami also. So he came from that kind of background. And unfortunately for my father, my mother and the two of us, my brother and I, we became students also over here. And it was his fate that because of us, he also had to come over here only. Very unwittingly, we dragged him. He had two choices. Either you stay on your own or you stay with us. So he chose to stay with us. So he comes and lands up over here. And I remember the first interview with Swami, my father was not present. My mother asked Swami that, "Swami, my prayer is that my husband should serve you." That was a prayer she had. And I laughed, you know, how of all the things, my father serving Swami, my mother has such dreams. But as it transpired a few years later, Swami gave my father this chance of becoming the pujari at Mandir. There's a long sequence of events which I could narrate, but for paucity of time, let me just tell you what happened on that day. The day when we received news that he is going to become the pujari. So the secretary of the trust at that time, Mr. Chakravarti, he called me and he said, you know, just can you call your father? I want to talk to him about something. So I knew what the background was, that they were looking for a new pujari for the mandir, and my heart started beating fast that what if they give the job to my father who is not a devotee? What will become of us? Will he be able to tolerate? Will he be able to manage all that? Those were the misgivings that I started having. So I called up my father. I said, Father, look, this is what is going to happen. I want you to tell me ahead of time, yes or no, because I don't want you to come here and then later say no. You know, I was that nervous about what would happen. So he says, you don't worry about all that. So he comes, and then Chakravarti sir, secretary of the trust, he told him that Swami has decided that you will be the next pujari. And then Chakravarti sir turned towards me. He said, I want both of you to sit inside the bhajan mandir. And I want, because I have told Swami that it is your father who is the next pujari. So I said, okay, I'll sit in the bhajan hall. So as I sat in the bhajan hall, my mind started going back to all those times. You know, my father, as a banker, he was transferred to Kashmir when I was a student. And Swami would keep on inquiring every month around twice or thrice. He would call me and ask, so how is your father doing? Is he okay in Kashmir? I hope no problems, you know. So I would say, no, Swami is all right. And this continued for almost 7 years, that Swami would keep inquiring with me about my father. How is he? How is he doing? It went to that an extent that my mother said that I am not able to understand this. I am the devotee and he is not. And Swami is worried about him but not about me. You know, to that extent. So this, I started remembering all those times when Swami used to keep on asking, how is your father? Is he all right? Is he keeping good health? And so Swami would always keep asking, where is he? All these questions he would ask. And so in my mind it played out. Even as Swami came in for darshan, I was watching him. And in my mind, I anticipated that this is what is going to happen. That I am seated in bhajan hall, my father is sitting a little away from me. And Swami will come near me, he'll ask, so where is your father? And I will happily show this way that, Swami, see here, here is my father and all that. So, as Swami came into the bhajan hall, he totally ignored me and went straight ahead to where my father was standing. And I was wondering what happened to my script, you know. I am the one who's supposed to introduce my father to Swami and say, see Swami, this is my father. Not only that, Chakravarti sir has told me that I have told Swami it is your father. So that is also in my mind. So I am supposed to introduce my father to Swami. You will not believe what happened. Swami stands in front of my father, looks at him and he says, Abba Vachava. He says, ah, at last you have come. And I realized that Swami has been trying to pull this one soul towards him from such a long time. In various ways, he has been trying to pull that soul. The soul kept fighting. No, I hate you. No, I don't like this. No, I don't like that. Oh my God, now my entire family has become your devotee. I will not. But Swami never gave up. He kept on pulling. And I could see the relief in Swami's face when he saw that at last that devotee has landed at his feet. He said, ah, at last you have come. Can you believe that? Normally we hear in the scriptures that the devotee has done penance, stood for his foot, stood on his feet for ages and ages, and after 1,000 years, then the Lord comes in front of the devotee and the devotee says, Lord, at last you have come. And here we are, that the devotee keeps fighting, saying, no, I'm not coming, no, whatever you do, I'm not coming. And finally, when the Lord sees the devotee, the Lord says, ah, at last you have come. That, whether we understand that or not, how much do we know, how much Swami has pined for each one of us to be here in His presence. How much He wants each one of us. How that feeling of love that a mother has when she sees her child nearby with her, in her eyes. That is the kind of happiness that Swami gets when He sees us all here.
You are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
See, as students, we come to know so many things about Swami's interactions. See, sometimes what would happen that there used to be students who for their career sake or whatever reason, Swami would love them so much and these students would have to leave. There were times when Swami has not eaten food for 3 days. For 3 days. Saying that, oh, that student has left. Such used to be Swami's agony that the student has left him and gone. We have to understand Swami's heart. Whether we know that or not, how much He loves us. You think we love Swami, but I don't even know what fraction that is of how much He loves each one of us. How much it means to Him that we are there. How much it means to Him that we are thinking of Him. Because this Lord has waited for ages and ages till our mind even turned towards Him. And not only turned towards Him, felt that among all these things in the world, Lord, You are important to me. That I need to come to You. Lord, I need to know You. I need to love You. He has waited all these ages for that to happen. Are we sensitive to the feelings of the Lord? Because His feelings can be hurt by small things when we do not really understand what He is trying to teach us. When our lives go astray, when we are not able to follow the small little teachings of His, those pain Him. Those pain Him the most. And He feels happiest when we turn our face towards Him and we go to Him, Swami, I have come back to You. All these years You have been waiting for me. Swami, at last, I have this opportunity to come back to You. So this is that very, very unique relationship that we have with the Lord. Once I recall, you know, when I joined here for my duty as in the trust office. So there was another very close friend of mine who also became my colleague. So both of us joined the trust office together. And when we got our first salary of our working life, so we decided that first salary, we'll offer it to Swami. So we told our parents also, Swami, that, you know, this is what we want to do. They didn't have obviously any objection. They said, yes, it belongs to Swami. He is your parent. So morning darshan, we have withdrawn the money, our first salary, put it in envelopes. And we sat near the bhajan hall. And as Swami entered the interview room, He saw us, He walked towards us. He asked Amy, and Swami was in a hurry. So He just took our two envelopes and He walked in. So we were thrilled beyond belief. We took Padnamaskar and we said, oh, we managed, you know, we gave our first salary to Swami. Then evening, darshan, we got instructions again that we are supposed to sit near bhajan hall. We didn't know what was going to happen. So Swami came, He looked very sternly at us. He said, what have you both given me this morning? So my colleague was quiet. He knew when to keep quiet. I didn't. So I told Swami, it is our first salary. He looked sternly. He said, go inside. So the two of us, we didn't know what is going to happen. We went in the interview room and sat there. After some time, Swami came. And then His stern face by that time had melted. Then He saw us both. He said, both of you wait here. He went inside into another room inside. And brought back the two envelopes. I was wondering, why is Swami bringing back our envelopes? He comes, He gives my envelope back to me and my friend's envelope also back to Him. He said, see, this money is useful for you. It will come into use at some time. I don't need your money. Do you know what I want most? I want your love. And I remember He pulled both our cheeks. He said, I want your love. And Swami, He was choked with emotion at that moment. Because this is the currency in which Swami deals in. The currency of love. This is what He wants from each one of us. Nothing more than that. This is the only relationship that He has with each one of us. One day, I can remember two instances when I used to think a lot about these things. What is our relationship with Bhagwan? What should it be? I recall once I was sitting in Kulwant Hall. And that day, Swami had called some of our students from the music college. Some of you may recall, in the year 2003 or 2004, almost every day these students had the privilege of singing Carnatic songs, Kirtanas, in front of Bhagwan. Almost 10 to 11 Kirtanas they would sing in front of Swami. Those were the days. And I was seated there in the Vedam group, and I used to watch these, you know, how much proximity they all had to Swami. Swami would sometimes call them every day for, before Darshan, he would call them into the Purnachandra auditorium, and they would all have tiffin with Swami before coming for Darshan. Swami would feed them all, and then they would come for Darshan. So I was just thinking that, you know, how I wish I had some talent by which Swami could, you know, actually draw him close to him. Somehow that I should get close to Swami through some talent. I started thinking in various directions. I wish I became a great musician in my next life. I want to become a great musician so I become dear to Swami. Then I love mathematics. So I started thinking, no, what if I became a great mathematician? I would become so intelligent and solve such big problems. And then when I come here to Swami, I would be a VIP. And then I would become dear to Swami. I also have a love for physics. So I thought, what if I became a great physicist? So I was just thinking that in all the different directions, what if I became somebody great? What if I had a lot of talent of some sort? Or I would look at Ravi Kumar sir, our very famous singer in the Mandir. I wish I had talent like that. I wish I had a voice like that, so that I could become close to Swami. These were the thoughts that were running in my mind as all this was going on, Swami interacting with these students. And at some point of time, suddenly, it was as if a question popped in my head, that in your next life, this is as if Swami is talking to me in my head, in your next life, I will offer you different talents and I'll offer you proximity to Bhagwan. You have to trade off. Either you take the talents a lot or I'll give you proximity to me. Which one will you choose? The more talent you have, you'll have less proximity to me. The more proximity to me you will have, less talent you'll have. Which one will you choose? This was the question in my head. And immediately in my head, I answered, Swami, I want you. And although this was a conversation that was going on in my head, at that moment, even as the music concert was going on, suddenly Swami turned towards me and again his face was choked with emotion. I could feel that at that moment in my head, luckily for me, I had made the right choice. And Swami was signaling to me, yes, that is the right choice. He was filled with that emotion, that he was choked with emotion that the devotee had chosen him over all worldly talents. Because this is the greatest treasure that we can get, whether we realize it or not. That proximity, that love for Swami, that is the greatest treasure. We will not understand. You know why we will not understand? Because this entire world will ask us only questions like, how much wealth do you have? What kind of position do you have? How many cars do you possess? Among those, which car is a Porsche and which car is a Lamborghini? Which model of BMW do you have? How many houses have you constructed? What position do you own? These are the questions the world is going to ask us. It will never ask us, okay, how much do you love Swami? What is your, how much love do you feel for the Lord? How many times do you go to Prashanti Nilayam? Have you had relatives who ask you questions like this? Have you had your friend circle ask you questions like this? Because the world never evaluates us by this yardstick. It always evaluates us according to our accomplishments. What is your salary? How many promotions have you got? At what level were you working? That is the only thing that the world can see. We are not blaming the people. This is what we can see and that is what we evaluate by. We never evaluate a person by how much love they have for God, have we? We do not. And yet, this is what the Lord seeks from us. Paradoxical. the Lord cares two hoots as to what your worldly accomplishments are. You see, I come from a university, Bhagwan's university, where in my convocation, we have people who have accomplished, they've got gold medals, they've got all-rounder gold medals, they've all landed such fantastic jobs. Some of them have got, they've landed their PhD in colleges abroad, United States, Europe, some with Nobel laureates. All of us, we have come back, once you have graduated in March, and we have come back in November to Prashanthi Nilayam for our graduation, our convocation with the Lord. And at our convocation, the chief guest was none other than Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam. It was such an honor, the president who is going to address all of us, and we felt all the more happy that at our convocation, somebody, such an inspiring figure is there to give us his guidance. Swami then stands up when the time came for his discourse, the Chancellor's discourse. He stands up and his beginning words were this. He said, all of these degrees that you hold, all of these worldly accomplishments that you are looking forward to, none of them have any significance to me. The only significance that is there for me is your character. That as Swami students, how will you all, behave in this world? How will you be as Swami students in the world? That is what is of utmost importance to me. Swami says, all these degrees, none of which have any significance to me at all. They are worthless. In fact, Swami said they are worthless till you have the pining for the Lord Himself. His opening statements in front of the president of the country, who is himself an accomplished scientist, Swami says that none of these achievements matter two hoots for me. That was the kind of relationship, that is the kind of Lord that we all have, the kind of guidance. He is making it very, very clear that while the entire society is going to make a mistake called, we will evaluate you by your accomplishments, by how much bank balance you have, how many cars you have, how many bedrooms you have in your house. That is what will be their criteria. I am going to evaluate you by another criteria. How much love for Brahman do you have? That will be my criteria. Will you stand up to that? That was the challenge he threw to each one of us in his benedictory discourse as the Chancellor of our university. He made it very clear, absolutely very straight about his expectations from each one of us. You see, one day like this, I was sitting in Darshan in Kulwant Hall, and that day there was something that I so strongly wanted to communicate to Swami. I don't recall what it was. I had been wanting to tell this from almost 10 days, and one opportunity or the other I would get, and somehow it would not happen. Like I would, write a letter during Darshan, Swami would just brush me, make me sit down and all that. So I was wondering, how on earth will I communicate this to Swami? How will Swami know what suffering I am undergoing? That was my question. That I am undergoing a lot of tumult in my mind. I want to communicate it to Swami, and Swami is least bothered. And that day I watched Swami during Darshan. So from Purnachandra he would walk in those days. He walked into the ladies' side, and I saw that every step of the way, what was Swami doing? Swami would look around, he would go keep collecting letters. This person. So the first person would have written, Swami, all this has happened. Another person would have said, Swami, this is my prayer. My child has to be able to get to a good college. My child has to get a good job. Or my husband has to be cured. I want to be cured. Or he'll come down, or somebody will give a letter. Swami, my promotion is pending all these years. It has not happened. And Swami keeps coming down. Another person says, Swami, I am sick. Or my son is sick. My daughter is sick. Make them better. Swami, I am going through this anxiety, financial worries. I have got so much in loan, I am not able to pay it off. Each person, Swami is patiently going, collecting their letters, taking each one's letters. Some are able to, luckily, even tell Swami, and Swami will tell them, no, don't worry, I am taking care. It will get done. Don't worry. Some consolation to each person, Swami started giving. And as he came towards my block, suddenly that realization struck me that Swami is asking each one of us that what are you going through? What do you want? What are your worries? What are your anxieties? But I have never asked Swami, what do you want? That thought struck me with great force. That all of us over there, we are saying that Swami, love me, love me, love me. I want your love. I want you to love me. I want your succor. I want your grace to fall on me. But we never ask Swami, what do you want? And as Swami, do you want, am I loving you enough? That thought never struck us that do we love Swami enough? Have we given him enough of us? And that when that thought struck me, tears started streaming down my face. I could not control myself. That what are we doing to Swami? That each one of us, we throw our worries on him. Have we ever asked Swami, what is it that I can do for you? How can I make your burden a little less in this physical universe? What can I, in some way can I help you? Swami doesn't need our help. He's above all that. But the question is, at a physical plane, do we have that sensitivity towards Swami? Or are we always occupied with, Swami, I want this from you, I want that from you, I want you to do this for me, I want you to do that for me. We have never asked, what do you want from us? This is my worry. That are we present to this Lord who has pined for ages and ages for all of us? When do we even acknowledge His presence? That He is somewhere nearby. He is watching all of us. He is waiting that when will we turn and look for Him and say, oh, there you are. This is what I am truly worried with myself. Am I present to how much Swami wants me? Do I care that much about Him? This is what sometimes I agonize over. That have we loved Swami enough? Because that sisters and brothers who are all seated here and all elders who are seated over here, believe me, it is possible to have that kind of individual relationship with Bhagwan, and it is the most precious thing on earth. You cannot get anything like this. We cannot throw it away. Once you throw it away, we do not know how far we'll be thrown off, how many ages it'll come back, it'll take for us to rebound and come back to that path. So we have to hold on to this precious treasure because there is nothing like it. The intoxication that the Lord can provide, I was telling you at the beginning, just one little remark about the price of a vibhuti packet sent 500 people into raptures of laughter. That's all it takes. I remember those days during darshan, if anything, even the slightest thing had disturbed our minds, when we sit over there for darshan, the moment Swami walks in, you see that placid, that pure, innocent face of our Lord, the moment you see that, all our worries used to simply melt away. Simply, just like that. Because His countenance had so much peace in it. Just looking at that, you were in the presence of such power, though we realized it or not. You know, I got to understand this when I read this book called A Search in Secret India by this author named Paul Brunton. So Paul Brunton, he was a Westerner, and somewhere he got this vision saying that come to India and you'll find your guru. So he goes all over India looking for his guru. And he goes from place to place, and somewhere, you know, towards the end, he's attracted towards this place called Tiruvannamalai, the Arunachala, one abode near Arunachala Hill. Somebody tells him that there is this sage called Ravan Maharishi. So he goes to Ravan Maharishi's abode, and while he's sitting there, at first, he He is not able to understand what is the greatness of this guru because he doesn't seem to be talking to anybody at all. He is just not talking to anybody. He spent 2-3 days over there. He would be sitting in his room, you know, sometimes looking out of the hall towards the hill. Would not talk, sometimes would not even look at the people who are seated there. One morning it happens that somebody from the town, he walks into the meditation hall, what is now called the meditation hall. He walks into the darshan hall and Mr. Brunton, he comes to realize that this person, that morning he has lost his child. So imagine the parents' agony, like it was a 10-year-old child, I think. He had lost that child and he was in such agony, he came straight to the ashram hoping for an audience with Ramana Maharishi so that a few words from the Maharishi could quell his that agony, that scorching agony in his heart. But the Maharishi, as usual, he was not even looking in the direction of that poor devotee. And Mr. Brunton started wondering what would happen. The whole time, Ramana Maharishi, you may have seen this pose of his, he would rest his chin on his hand like this and keep looking out of the window. For 3 hours, the Maharishi sat nearly motionless. And at that moment, suddenly, the author, Paul Brunton, he begins to feel that there are some waves that are coming towards all the people who are seated over there. It was as if the Maharishi was radiating some kind of peace, which was penetrating each one of them. At the end of 3 hours, can you imagine that parent who had just that morning he has lost his child, at one moment he gets up, complete peace on his face, very reverentially, in complete equilibrium, he bows down to the master and he walks away. And at that moment he realized what kind of master Ramana Maharishi was. He didn't need to speak any words. His mere presence was enough. That silence which was there in the heart of the Maharishi, he was able to transmit that silence to each one of his devotees, completely quell the noise in the mind and have each one of them reach that mental equilibrium, that mental peace. That was the power of Ramana Maharishi. And as I read those words, I was sitting in Mandir and I realized, oh my God, now I realize what is happening. Many a times, you know, I used to sometimes go towards Swami's Yajur Mandir residence, that, you know, if we have something to inform Swami, be it official, something related to office or some other personal issue, we as staff, we could go to Swami's residence and hand over our letter to Swami and we could wait for his reply. So sometimes, you know, that wait outside Swami's residence, it could go up to half an hour. So we just used to stand next to Swami's residence right after Arati, and I realized the silence that pervaded Swami's residence. It is a deep silence. I'm not talking about physical silence. I could hear the birds chirp. We could hear some devotees talking as they went past. The noises of cars, all those noises were there. I'm not talking about the physical noise, but standing next to Swami's residence, in his immediate vicinity, the amount of silence. You could feel the heart completely slow down. The complete peace completely descend into your head, because that was the effect of Bhagwan's presence. This is that power we will not understand that a master like that possesses to transmit that kind of peace. We will never understand. Because that is the divine power. See, what we look for from the Lord, Swami used to say this, that why are all these people, so many people have come for my birthday or for Guru Purnima. Swami would ask, Inta mandi enduku vacharu? Why have so many people come? Did I send out invitations to all of them? And what is it that they all lack? Swami used to ask, he used to ask us, what do you think they are all lacking? They all have lots of money, worldly wealth, they are all rolling in wealth. What is it that they lack in their life that they are coming here for? And Swami would say that they want two things. They want love and they want peace. And this is what Swami used to give out in abundance. This is present in abundance in Swami's presence. That happiness, that bliss, that amount of peace, he can dole out and out and out, how much ever we can take. It is for us to collect and go. That is the kind of blessing that we have in his, that is the kind of treasure we have access to. And how foolish it would be for each one of us to throw it out. That kind of treasure that we have in our hand. This is the relationship that, this is the connection we have with our Lord. This is the relationship that we have with our Lord. It cannot be described by any physical relationship. It is unique. Mothers, fathers, spouses, kids, they will come and go. And only the Lord stays in the end with each one of us. That is a unique, permanent relationship that is there. It is for each one of us to realize this relationship. It is for each one of us to cherish this relationship. It is for each one of us to make this relationship fructify into an eternal bond of oneness with the Lord. With the prayer that Swami grants us this understanding, because there are numerous things in this world which will pull us away from that clarity, from that understanding. And it is only our Lord who out of His grace can show us the way. No, this is what you need to do. With the prayer that Swami always keeps guiding us and gives us the wisdom to hear what He is saying, to listen to what He is saying and to follow that guidance. With that prayer, I would like to conclude this session. I have taken about 5 minutes more. I thank you all for your patient listening during this entire period. And for me, this privilege, this opportunity has come because of each one of you. And I would like to thank all of you for this gift and for this opportunity. Sai Ram. And
there's a stream of love. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love. Come to the shore, come to the shore. There's a stream of love. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love, come to the shore, come to the shore. If you need some healing, here's how to begin. First you must put all of your trust in Spirit, then just wait on Him. There's a stream of love, come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love, come to the shore, come to the shore. If you're constantly thirsty and the world leaves you unsatisfied, know that in all those places you've been seeking, there's one place you might not have tried. There's a stream of love, come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love, come to the shore, come to the shore. Everything not of itself. If you will push aside all you're afraid of, reach up, take love off the shelf. There's a stream of love, come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love, come to the shore, come.
it, sweet Lord, my Lord, oh my Lord, I really wanna see you, really wanna be with you, really wanna see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my Lord, my sweet Lord, my Lord, my Lord, I really wanna know you, really wanna go with you, really wanna show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord, my sweet Lord, my Lord, my sweet Lord, I really wanna see you, really wanna see you.
a little boy, I knew I was here to laugh and enjoy. I asked my daddy, what does it mean to pray? He said, if you're feeling bad, just close your eyes and say, I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. Once upon a time, I knew a little girl. She asked her mama, where is God in this world? She went to the mirror, just as she was told, and stared into her eyes till she could behold. I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. I see God in me.
I see God in me.
I see God in you.
I see God in you.
I see God in us.
I see God in us.
Living in the moment as love. I do my best now, just to be myself. It's so much easier than being anybody else. Let's enjoy each other's individuality, while remembering our cosmic reality. I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. I'll say it again, I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. I see God in me.
I see God in me.
I see God in you.
I see God in you.
I see God in us.
I see God in us.
Living in the moment as love. When I was just a little boy, I knew I was here to laugh and enjoy. I asked my daddy, what does it mean to pray? He said, if you're feeling bad, if you're feeling bad, just close your eyes and say, I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. I am God, living in the moment as love. Oh yeah. One more time.
I offer myself to offer myself. my song for love.